Well, I'm not going to have you turn to any particular passage because you don't need to be trying to read ahead while I'm trying to share with you. Because I'm going to be telling you a story this morning. And it's a story about a young man that God used mightily to change the world that he lived in. In Genesis chapters 37 through 50, and you can go read this later, it's a very interesting, very good story, we read about the life of a young man named Joseph. Now, he was only 17 years old when God started to reveal to him his plan for his life. Joseph was called and anointed for a specific task that would affect his family and his descendants to come. Now God gave Joseph two dreams. He's 17 years old. As a 17-year-old, I'd get pretty excited too if God gave me two dreams, especially if these dreams were concerning showing my 10 brothers, really 11 brothers, and my father all bowing down before me, their faces to the ground. Okay? Well, he got so excited about these dreams, he went and told his brothers and his father all about them. Well, his dad, Jacob, thought he was being pretty prideful, but you have to understand something. Joseph was spoiled. He was a tattletale. He liked to tell things on his brothers all the time, so it wasn't good. So, Joseph's brothers intensely hated him. They didn't just like him. They hated him. I was only using the microphone so they could hear me downstairs, whoever is with the children down there, so. Now, Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. Now, Jacob openly showed favoritism towards Joseph, so much so that he made him a tunic of many colors. Remember Joseph and the coat of many colors? Okay. He made this special tunic just for Joseph. Okay, so this bred a lot of jealousy and a lot of animosity among the brothers, which wasn't a good deal. One day, Jacob sent Joseph to check up on his brothers who were off in another area tending sheep, and he wanted him to report back to him how everything was going. Well, when Joseph was afar off and he was in this coat of many colors, his brothers saw him. And they got really upset, and they got real jealous, and they started plotting to get rid of Joseph. They wanted to get rid of the dreamer. So, only because of Reuben's intervention, they didn't kill him. They took off his tunic, and they threw him in a pit. While he was in that pit, along comes the Midianite. Midianite traders heading towards Egypt with all their wares, and so they said, okay, let's sell him to these traders, and we'll be rid of him. We won't have to kill him that way. We'll just be rid of him forever out of our lives. So they sold him for 20 shekels of silver. You want to know how much that is in today's? It's $142.62. That's what Joseph was sold for. They didn't care. They just wanted to get rid of him. Have him out of his life, their lives forever. So they dipped his tunic in goat's blood and took it back to their father, saying a wild beast had killed him. How did those brothers live with themselves all those years? With this lie, living with their dad, seeing their dad so distraught, so overcome with grief. How could you live with yourself? It was because of hardness of heart. They had hardened themselves totally because of that hatred. Now, a lot of us are like Joseph. When God gives us a dream or a vision or something, you know, put something on our heart, we run out and we want to tell people all about it. Oh, this is what God's going to do with my life, you know, and all this. But you know what we need to be doing? We need to pray about these things. We need to keep them to ourselves for a little while. We need to meditate on them, pray about them, prepare ourselves so God can use us. Then let God bring it to pass in His own time. We need to discern the time of the Lord for our lives. I remember when I was 18 years old, I was brought up in a family of generations of Roman Catholics. Okay? That summer, I got born again. And not only that, I started attending a Pentecostal church. Okay? I left the church, the mother church, and generations of Catholics. It didn't bode well for me. Not only that, I was scheduled to go to college that fall. I was going to become a home ed teacher. But God spoke to me one day. I can still see it in my mind. I was standing in the bathroom, and I was sorting laundry for my mom. And He spoke to my heart, and He said, you know, if you'll stay home and keep attending this church, in 2 years, I'll send you to Bible school. I thought, whoa, I can handle that, because that's where I wanted to go, really, anyway, you know. I was going to college just because, you know, that was the thing to do, even though I did like home ec. I loved home ec. In fact, when I was a senior in high school, I had 3 hours that were just free hours. And so I had a real good rapport with the home ec teacher, and I'd go down to the class and I'd help with the underclasses. Whether it was sewing, cooking, crafts, whatever, I would just help out down there with them. So, anyway, my folks got very upset. My relatives got very upset. In fact, my best friend's mom really got upset, too. She got mad because I wasn't going to go to college. See, God put a desire in my heart for ministry. Even way back there when I was a child, and a Catholic, when the only ministry you thought about was becoming a nun. You know? And so, even way back there, so anyway, this desire in my heart, you know, was just there. Well, my family almost disinherited me over it. It was really tough. 18 years old, newly born again, really doesn't know a thing about, you know, the things of God at all yet. Going to a Pentecostal church on top of it. So, you know, like I said, it was just really tough. But 2 years later, you know what happened? He sent me to Rhema Bible Training Center. And so, He took that gift that was in me as a teaching gift. I was going to become a home ec teacher. You know, I helped with the underclasses. Even after I got out of high school, I taught a couple of adult education classes. And I've mentored or taught people one-on-one or in small groups, different things, cake decorating, sewing, whatever. You know, I was always there with the talents He had placed in me, and I was always sharing and teaching people. Well, that gift has always been there, and I've just really realized it because I've had a hard time seeing myself as a teacher. But He's taken that gift that was in me all these years, and my desire for the ministry, and He's using it for me to be able to teach the Word of God to people. That teacher gift. I thought that was pretty cool. It set me free. So no matter what happens in our lives, these trials, these setbacks, tragedies. I mean, these things will come to our life. Bible, Scripture promises that it'll come because of the enemy who hates us. We need to hold on to that vision, that call that God has placed on the inside of us. Worship is a major part of pushing through these trials and setbacks. I wish I would have known back then when I was 18 years old this message, that we have the privilege of this now. You all are so fortunate. I am so fortunate. Praise God. Because of Dave Roberson and the message. And now it's in us, and we get to share it. We're multiplying it to other people. These pearls of great price, these gold nuggets that we're sharing, this truth in the Word of God. I wish I'd known about worship when I was 18 years old. Because it would have made it so much easier for me to be able to handle what I was going through with my family because I got born again. Worship pulls us in closer to Jesus. And because of it pulling us in closer, His peace starts taking over more and more. And when His peace starts taking over more and more, it makes His voice clearer for us to be able to hear Him. Okay, the story of Joseph continues. Okay, Joseph found himself in Egypt now. He's on the auction block as a slave, 17 years old. Just when all seemed lost and hopeless, Potiphar, the chief of the Pharaoh's army, bought him up. See, Joseph was a very nice-looking young man. So he thought, you know, probably good. You know, you're looking at five slaves, you know, you're going to go for the best one, you know. And with him being a leader, you know, he wants the best slave. So he probably saw something in Joseph. So what did Joseph do? Did he become bitter towards God? Did he rebel against his new authority? If he had, he'd probably been beat to the pulp. No. He did, what he did was he decided to learn the Egyptian language and learn the customs and the ways of the land. Remember when I was here with you last and spoke to you about writing down those words, those prophecies that God had given you? Keeping them before your eyes. If you want to turn over, I'm going to read from 1 Timothy. If you want to turn over to 1 Timothy 1:18. It says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Then over in chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them," Paul's talking to Timothy, "that your progress may be evident to all." I'm sorry, starting in 14. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be made evident to all." Even Paul is sharing with Timothy these things. Keep them before your eyes. Meditate on them. Think on these things because God is speaking to you here. You, personally, individually, He's speaking to you here. And if God is speaking these things to you, we need to be seriously as individuals about them because they're God's plan for us. They're God's heart for us. Even when in the natural, it doesn't look like any of it is ever going to come to pass. you have to keep it before your eyes. Remember, we're not moved by the things we see, but by what we don't see. Okay. Joseph became a very trusted and faithful servant of Potiphar. He trusted him so much that Potiphar didn't even really know the vastness of his, I'll say his kingdom, but his place, and he didn't know what went on because he gave all his authority to Joseph because Joseph was faithful and he was trustful. Joseph was the supervisor and handled everything. Integrity produces trust. Just as integrity and faithfulness bring trust between people in the natural world, it brings trust also between us and God. As we show our integrity and as we are faithful, God sees that and it builds a rapport and it builds a trust between us and Him. God is watching to see if He can trust us. When He sees that He can trust us, He'll give us more authority and He'll give us more responsibility. As we're faithful in the little things, greater things will happen. Continuing on. Potiphar's wife told you Joseph was a nice-looking young man. Bible says it. You can read it later. Anyway, Potiphar's wife, her eye caught Joseph. Okay? She lusted after him. She didn't even only lust after him. She wanted to go to bed with him. And she tried this more than once. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He said, I can't. How can I do this to my master who's been so good to me? He's given me control of all of this. How can I do that to my master? And he ran from her. But she clung on to his cloak and had it in her hand. Well, she accused Joseph of rape. She said, I'll get back at him. He won't go to bed with me. I'll get rid of him then. So she accuses him of rape. He ends up in prison now. Here he is, goes from a slave to a prisoner. Oh, woe is me. What now is going to happen? Okay, how many of us, by the time we're thrown into prison, would want no more part of God? If this is how God treats me, I'm doing all this for God. If this is how He treats me, I just don't want it. I don't want it no more. You know, He can find somebody else, or I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to blow my own horn, and I'm going to just push my own ministry through, you know? No, he didn't do that. Oh, I'm sure he was upset and he was discouraged, but he didn't do that. You know, this is where he probably came face to face with a lot of stuff. He came all the bitterness and hatred from his brothers, throwing him into that pit, selling him into slavery. All the resentment and revenge, wanting, you know, because of Potiphar's wife, Potiphar throwing him into prison, holding those grudges. Maybe plotting revenge in your mind for a little bit, you know. How many times has somebody done us wrong and we've held a grudge against them and or want to seek revenge, you know? Another thing is, this is just a little sidetrack, most of us have a wrong idea about people in the Bible. We think they're almost perfect, didn't have any problems, never experienced the things that, you know, we go through today. But you know what? That's just not true. It's not true at all. They did experience the same thing that we're going through. And we think that things take place in a matter of maybe days, weeks, months, when in fact some things took years to take place. But because it's condensed down in the Word, our mind isn't grasping it at years in there. So we have to get our thinking straight. That's why I'm taking my time with Joseph here and going through what he's gone through in his life, because we're going through a lifetime for Joseph. I'm sure he was despondent. I'm sure he got upset. Our human emotions are just like that. You know, and until we rein them in, and say, okay, God, you know, and you start thinking on the things of God again. Start thinking about those visions and those dreams and that call that he placed on the inside of you. That's what Joseph did in that prison. He had lots of time to think. He had lots of time to start to worship. He had lots of time of going, you know, I don't understand any of this, but God, you're my God, and, you know, I've got to trust you. And somehow, some way, you know, and he was just faithful to God. And you know what? God didn't forget about him. You see, Joseph didn't have any hidden agendas. He was faithful to serve no matter what. Joseph's real strength of character was the fact that he refused to give up on his God in the worst of circumstances. Okay, let's go over to Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Okay. And not only that, but we also glory, which actually that word translates out into worship, in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Okay, I went to my Webster's Dictionary. I'm a big one looking up words. Okay, tribulations actually means trial, setbacks, tragedies. Perseverance means to persist in a purpose or task despite the obstacles. Character means moral integrity, a good reputation. Hope means a wish or a desire accompanied by expectation of its fulfillment. Okay, we could read that verse this way. But we also worship during these trials, setbacks, and tragedies, knowing that these trials, setbacks, and tragedies produces or causes us to persist in a purpose or our call despite the obstacles. Persisting in our purpose or call despite the obstacles produces moral integrity and a good reputation. Moral integrity and a good reputation produces a desire accompanied by expectation of its fulfillment. Now this desire accompanied by expectation of fulfillment does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's my Amplified version. I looked it up in Amplified, and it wasn't that Amplified. You know, often when we think it's the end, God is only beginning. Jesus can take you when you are a nobody and bless you and use you if you will keep the right spirit and you will keep yourself humble before him. In prison, Joseph became a model prisoner. Soon he won the respect and trust of the jailer. The jailer basically turned things over to him because he was so faithful. He just took care of the rest of the prison. While Joseph was a prisoner, the Pharaoh, chief butler, and his chief baker were also in there. And they each had a very troubling dream on the same night. Well, Joseph, you know, when he's doing whatever he was doing, you know, saw them and saw they were kind of upset. And he says, well, you know, what's the matter? And they told him they each had these dreams. And he told them about these dreams. And Joseph said, well, this is what's going to happen. And he interpreted both dreams. And they came to pass exactly as Joseph said. Now, when the butler was released to go back to Pharaoh, Joseph said, don't forget about me down here. Remember me. But being the butler and being so ecstatic to get out of prison, he didn't remember Joseph. Okay, now Joseph was in one of the greatest tests of his life. He was only in his mid-20s by the time this happened. He had been betrayed by his brothers. He worked his way up to become a supervisor for Potiphar, only to be betrayed again and thrown into prison. By all outward circumstances, it looked like those dreams were never, ever going to come to pass. Pretty discouraging, isn't it? 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream, and he had this dream more than once, and it really upset him. And it was a dream about 7 lean cattle eating 7 fat cattle. All the magicians and the wise men at Pharaoh's court couldn't or would not interpret this dream. Then the butler says, oh, I remember, there was a man in prison. He interpreted this dream, you know, that the baker and I had, and it came to pass. So they sent for Joseph. And he listened to the Pharaoh's dream, and he said, okay, Pharaoh, this is what's going to happen. And he told them about how, you know, a famine was coming to the land. And he said, Pharaoh, you need to find a man who's very wise and very discreet to start to prepare the land for this famine. And the Pharaoh looked around and he says, I don't know of any other man except you. You are the man, Joseph. You are the man. From a matter of hours, from prisoner to second in command, Joseph went. By the time Joseph was made prime minister, second in command in the land of Egypt, it had been 13 years since he had been sold into slavery. He was 30 years old when he became prime minister. God can put you wherever you need to be to do the job he has for you to do, if you will humble yourself before him and trust him completely, no matter what the circumstances look like. Do the things you have been taught. Apply the keys in the Word of God to your life. Prayer, worship, read the Word, fast, build a trust between you and God, and he will do the exalting. If we prove ourselves faithful. But we have to study to show ourselves approved. There are things we have to do to become faithful. And we have to show God that we want to be faithful and we are faithful. Remember, be faithful in the little things, and greater things you'll have. It's all about building trust between you and your God. By the time Joseph saw his brothers during the great famine, he had been in Egypt 22 years. Now we think if a prophecy hasn't come to pass within a year, it's not going to happen. This is when, after 22 years, this is when Joseph's dreams came to pass. I was thinking back on some of those words I got, and there's 3 in particular that I received in 1998. 10 years I'm waiting to see these prophecies fulfilled. They're for an appointed time. They're going to come. You know, took 22 years for Joseph. You know, the vision's still out there. The call's still out there. It's still God's heart for me. Still God's heart for you. What he sent, he's given you. Well, Jacob heard about that there was food in Egypt, so he sent his son over to Egypt to purchase food for the family. When they arrived, they were ushered into the presence of the prime minister, Joseph. They didn't recognize him. He was no longer a teenager. He was a 39-year-old man. He looked like an Egyptian. He dressed like an Egyptian. He used an interpreter for their conversation because he didn't want them to know he knew the language. He didn't want them to know who he was yet. He was dressed in all the royalty with all the fanfare of the Egyptian court. And you know what happened? His brothers bowed their faces to the floor before him. 22 years. On the brother's second trip to Egypt, he revealed himself to them. Well, of course, they were terrified. They thought, oh my gosh, he's going to kill us all. But you know what? Joseph had forgiven. During all this time that he'd been going through, all that time, he turned himself over to God. And God did a work in his heart and in his life. So, just like Joseph was in a foreign land among the Egyptians, he was not one of them. So are we in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this, but we're in this world. We live here, and we're to make a difference. Our lives are to touch people for the kingdom of God. And even though we live here, we are to be kingdom-minded. Joseph ended his life right on target. The dreams of his youth, because he kept his eyes on his God, came to pass. Even when time looked like it would never, ever, ever happen. Had Joseph let rebellion and bitterness, hatred, thoughts of revenge stay in his heart, none of it would happen. It would have totally nullified the will of God for his life. He allowed God to work on transforming him into a vessel he could use for his glory. He used Joseph through Egypt to save the nation of Israel during this famine. What Satan meant for destruction, God turned for good. Your dreams, your visions are for an appointed time. They are God-given goals. Allow God to reveal and transform you out of anything that stands between you and him. In Romans 12, verse 2, I'll just read it. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." You have to read the Word. You have to gain knowledge of the Word. The only way to find out about God is through the Word. The Word is His will, His mind, and His heart. Transformation only comes through the Word. So spend time with your God. Spend time in prayer, worship, fasting, reading the Word. Don't let go of your God-given dreams. And most of all, let God bring them to pass in His own time. Amen? I feel like worshiping a little more fast, too.